Hello and welcome to today's episode of The Quad Shot, where we help you down and digest the day's most pertinent cancer news. It's July 28th, 2025. Welcome to The Quadcast. I'm your host, Sam Markram. Let's dive in. First up, just swell. Does edema surrounding a brain metastasis influence the risk of recurrence after SRS? Edema is common surrounding brain metastases, but the extent of edema can be highly varied. This systematic review and meta-analysis identified 8 studies that characterized perilesional edema for almost 1,500 brain metastases treated with SRS. Across these studies, the presence of perilesional edema was significantly associated with an increased risk of local failure. When comparing those either with or without perilesional edema, regardless of extent, there was nearly a 3-fold increase in local failure risk when perilesional edema was present. Among studies that set a specific threshold for the extent of edema, the risk of local failure was 71% higher in those exceeding the threshold. Interestingly, the risk of failure was lower, though still elevated, in the subset of patients who received treatment for edema prior to SRS compared to those who did not. This being a meta-analysis, the mechanisms behind the association weren't really explored. Could brain metastases with edema have more aggressive local behavior? And what about the potential confounder of larger tumor lesion size and its association with both edema and local failure? Additionally, there's the possibility that edema or evolving edema could result in target misses based on interventions to alleviate the edema and the timing of the SRS. The bottom line is, in this meta-analysis, the presence of perilesional edema and the extent of edema surrounding brain metastases was associated with an increased risk of local failure after SRS. Thanks to Akhavan Sagari, Red Journal, 2025. Up second, next best thing. Patients still aren't keen to decide yay or nay on prostatectomy via coin flip. That is to say, we remain without prospective randomized trial data on the merits of prostatectomy versus radiation in controlling the most aggressive localized prostate cancers. Here we have a first-of-its-kind pooled analysis of individual patient data from 2 contemporaneous large prospective phase 3 trials enrolling men with high-risk prostate cancer. One, delivering radiation as the definitive treatment, RTOG-0529, and one, delivering surgery, CALGB-90203. This study was aimed to tease out any distinction in subsequent rates of distant disease recurrence. It is a nice comparison because both trials were designed with a 1-to-1 randomization to the addition of 6 cycles of docetaxel. Of course, there are all the caveats of unknown biases that come with comparing across trial populations, but recognizable biases appeared to favor the surgical cohort, where the median PSA was lower, 10 versus 15, and fewer men had clinical T3 disease, 17% versus 27%. Nonetheless, the cumulative incidence of distant metastases at 8 years was significantly higher after surgery, 22% versus radiation, 15%, with an adjusted hazard ratio of 0.58. This was consistent across multiple subgroup and sensitivity analyses. What's more, this difference was seen despite roughly 3/4 of enrollees in the surgery-based trial receiving adjuvant or salvage pelvic radiation, post-op radiation rates that far outpace those seen in the real world. The authors postulate the use of long-course ADT in the radiation-based cohort almost certainly impacted the emergence of distant metastases. and we will postulate any discrepancy in outcomes between radiation-based and surgical-based treatments for high and very high-risk prostate cancer have only widened in the 2 decades since these trials accrued, given our abilities to now deliver extremely dose-escalated radiation in combination with long-course ADT. The bottom line is, perhaps the best comparison we have on the subject suggests definitive radiation with long-course ADT results in fewer metastatic recurrences than surgery-based algorithms for high or very high-risk prostate cancer. Thanks to Roy, European Urology, 2025. Up next, second chances. Does pelvic radiation increase the risk of second pelvic malignancy in patients with locally advanced rectal cancer? Second malignancy is always a late concern after radiation. However, this risk could be highly variable across different patient populations, and when it comes to pelvic radiation in adults, the data is conflicting over the magnitude and clinical significance of this potential risk. This study compared second malignancy risk in a large cohort of over 2,600 patients with locally advanced stage 2 to 3 rectal cancer treated with either neoadjuvant chemotherapy alone or chemoradiation. Notable baseline differences between groups were a higher proportion of men in the chemoradiation group, more obese patients, more tobacco users, and more diabetics. There was no significant difference in the cumulative incidence of second pelvic malignancy with chemoradiation versus chemo at 5 years, 2% in both groups, and at 10 years, 5.8 versus 4.2. The most common second pelvic malignancies were prostate, bladder, and endometrial cancer. Age greater than 50 was significantly associated with a higher risk of second pelvic malignancy, while the use of IMRT was associated with a lower risk. The bottom line is, in this large cohort study, chemoradiation was not associated with a higher risk of second pelvic malignancy compared to chemo alone for locally advanced rectal cancer. Thanks to Tringale, Red Journal, 2025. Finally, the time is nigh. The last decade has had no shortage of drama regarding various proposed alternative payment models for radiation oncology to combat the continued precipitous decline in reimbursement within the current structure. Well, CMS proposed rules for 2026 include pretty drastic changes we've all been bracing for. And this podcast by Value Health Voices, with the presidents of ACRO and ASTRO, is here to help break it all down. Also included are avenues to contribute to advocacy efforts during the critical 60-day comment period ending September 12, 2025. Thanks to Value Health Voices, 2025. This concludes today's episode of The Quad Shot. If you like what you've heard, please consider giving us a 5-star rating and subscribing to our podcast. Also, check out our website at www.quadshotnews.com and subscribe to our newsletter. We'll catch you next time.